We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Colossians chapter 3, and our text for this morning is verse 11. Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Particularly these words, Christ is all and in all. I wonder, do you believe that? Is it true about you? Christ is all and in all. Is he everything to you? The apostle here is saying, there is neither Greek nor Jew. The Greeks were very proud of their own learning, their philosophers, their education, the wisdom of the Greeks. The Jews, they were very proud of Abraham their father. They were the elect nation. But in Jesus Christ, there is neither Greek nor Jew. It doesn't matter whether you're a Greek or a Jew. There is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. In Old Testament times, the people of God were circumcised. And the circumcision then used to look at the uncircumcision as unclean. And the circumcised would not eat with the uncircumcised. And the circumcised despised the uncircumcised as dogs. But in Jesus Christ, it makes no difference whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised. There is neither barbarian nor Scythian. The barbarians, they were the savages to the Romans. The Romans were the people with all the dignity and the civilization. And outside were the savages. The Scythians, they were a very warlike people who lived in the Ukraine area, north of the Black Sea. Very dirty, it seems that they didn't wash. They would drink the blood of their enemies. Very cruel, barbaric. From the 7th century BC, they began to invade the countries of the Middle East. Doesn't matter whether you're a barbarian, a savage, or a Scythian, one of these brutal folk. In Jesus Christ, you're welcome. Your past is behind. Your life is changed and transformed. Doesn't matter whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you're black or white, whether you're native or immigrant, whether you're Scottish or English, Highlander or Lowlander, whatever your past, whatever your present, it matters not a whit. Bond or free, slave or slave master, it makes no difference. In Jesus Christ, one. That's the way Paul puts it in Galatians 3:28. In Jesus Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female, neither bond nor free. Ye are all one in Christ. Same idea, isn't it? And it's here. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. Don't boast in your upbringing. Don't boast in your parentage. Don't boast in your education. Don't boast of your civilization. There's one thing to boast of, and that alone. And that is, are you in Christ? Do you have him? Is he your Savior? Has he come into your life? That's the only thing at the end of the day that will make the difference. Is Christ to you all and in all? If he is, heaven is yours and you will be blessed forever. But if Christ is not your all and in all, then you are at present under God's wrath and curse. And when you die, If you haven't repented by then, you will go to a lost eternity forever. So all that really matters is your relationship to Christ. And what is your relationship to Christ? Well, I'd like to think of what it means then this morning for Christ to be our all and in all. And we're going to look at several different points. First of all, it means that Christ is our covenant head. You see, way back in eternity, God planned to create a world. And he planned to create men and women in his own image. But also included in the plan was that men and women would sin against him and fall and would need to be saved. He visualized all mankind, first of all, in Adam, in our first parent. And he entered into a covenant of works with Adam. Do this and live, and be the children of Adam. And if Adam would keep God's commandments perfectly, then he would live. He would have eternal life, and so would all his family. But in the day that thou eatest of it, the forbidden fruit, thou shalt surely die. Adam, the covenant head of the whole human race. And we're all born children of Adam under a death sentence because of our sin. But then God also planned another covenant head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And from all eternity, he elected some. And he took these people and he gave them to Christ, to his Son. And he said, "Will you be their Savior?" And Christ said, "Yes." And so Christ came into this world and died on the cross for sinners. And if you are in Christ, you are saved in Christ. Outside of Christ, condemned. So you have it there. Christ, our covenant head. Christ is all and in all. Is that true of us? Christ spoke of those whom the Father hath given me. And of his saving of those whom the Father gave him. Christ, our covenant head, is he yours? You're either in Adam or in Christ. Those who are in Adam are children of wrath under the condemnation of God. And those who are in Christ are blessed, forgiven, justified, adopted into the family of God, and blessed with his Holy Spirit. So that's the first thing. Christ our all and in all. Christ is my covenant head. Christ is the one who stands for me before God. He is my surety. He is my all and in all. I don't look to Adam. I don't look to myself. I look to Christ. Can you say that? Secondly, Christ, our teacher. He's the great teacher. He reveals God to man. No man knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son doth reveal him. Man by searching can't find God, but God reveals himself through Christ. Remember in the Old Testament that the Son of God became the angel of the Lord. And as the angel of the Lord revealed himself to Abraham, to Jacob, to Moses, to Joshua, different times through the Old Testament, that was Christ revealing God and God's ways to us. And then the Old Testament prophets and writers of Scripture, holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Spirit of Christ. Christ is the great teacher. He's the great prophet. He is the great revealer of God. He shows us what we are to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. when he came into this world, again he became a preacher. People wanted him to perform miracles, and he did, but first and foremost, he was a preacher. When they were looking for more and more miracles, he turned away from them. His main interest, his first concern, was to proclaim salvation. A teacher sent from God. The great teacher. And then you remember, just before he ascended up to heaven, he said to his disciples, "I've got a job for you to do. Go ye into all the world and teach all nations." Teach, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. Teaching. He is the teacher. He teaches through his church, through his Spirit working with the Scriptures and through men and women. The teacher. Christ is our all and in all. Is he your teacher? Are you a disciple of his? Do you listen to his words? Do you receive from him as your teacher? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Is he the truth to you? The teacher. Christ is our all and in all. Thirdly, he is the Savior. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So said Paul. Christ came to be the Savior. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came to seek the lost sheep. And we're all lost sheep by nature. But is he your Savior? Has he found you? Have you been found by him? Do you put your trust in him? Do you look to him as your Savior? He took human nature. He was obedient as a man. He suffered and he died on the cross in the Roman place of sinners. He offered a perfect sacrifice. Is Jesus your Savior? He is our atonement, at one meant, making God and man to be at peace. Christ, our righteousness. We look to him, we trust in him, we depend on him and him alone. Christ is my all and in all. He is my Savior. Do you have a Savior? Are you trusting in Jesus? Have you given your heart to him? Are you depending totally upon him? Fourthly, Christ my covenant head, Christ my teacher, Christ my Savior, Christ, my forgiver. We all sin, don't we? And we sin in different ways. And we sin sometimes terrible sins. But there's one who can forgive sin. And there's one who can turn even scarlet sins and make them whiter than snow. Who can blot out all our transgressions like a cloud. Christ, our forgiver. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Christ, the propitiation, Christ the atonement, Christ the sacrifice, Christ the Savior, Christ the forgiver. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Go thy way, thy sins are forgiven, thy faith hath made thee whole. How many prodigal sons and prodigal daughters have come back to him, and have they been turned away? No. They are welcomed by him. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Shoes on his feet, a ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And there's great joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Christ was made sin for us so that we might be made righteous. He's able to pardon. He's able to save the chief of sinners. He's able to save you. And whatever there might be in your life, and whatever sins you have committed, and every one of us is a sinner, and because of our sins we deserve to be cast into hell. But the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive, and he will forgive all those who come unto him, come unto God through him. Sinner, you're welcome. Welcome to come to Christ. He's mighty to forgive. He's gracious to forgive. He's loving to forgive. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of thine heritage? A God that delighteth in mercy. He loves to be merciful. He loves to forgive. Christ, my forgiver. See yours. Has he forgiven you? Have all your sins been washed away? Christ, my intercessor. Having suffered and died on the cross, Jesus rose again and went into heaven. And he sits at God's right hand. And he's doing something there. What is he doing? He's interceding for us. He is our advocate. He is our lawyer. On the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, the high priest took the blood of the sacrifice one day each year and entered into not just the holy place in the temple, but into the very Holy of Holies. Just one day, one man was allowed to go in there, into the immediate presence of God. And with that blood, for himself, for his own sins, and for the sins of the people, sprinkle it upon the mercy seat. And that was a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ offering himself as a sacrifice for sin, and then taking his own blood and going into heaven to intercede for us. If any man sin, we have an advocate with a Father, a lawyer, a queen's counsel, a king's counsel, the very best counsel possible, the one who never loses any cases. Yesterday I heard Cardinal Vincent O'Brien talking about what's taking place today in Rome, the canonization of Pope John the 23rd and Pope John Paul II. And some million pilgrims will be gathered in Rome to witness this. These men are being made into saints. And what does it mean? Well, the Cardinal said it means this: you can pray to them and they will intercede for you with God. Do we need a man to intercede for us? Yes, we do. We need the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is the mediator, the mighty, powerful mediator who never loses a case. Does he need some help? Does he need the Virgin Mary to give him some help interceding for us? Does he need Pope John the 23rd to intercede with him and encourage God to be gracious to us? Does he need Pope John Paul the 2nd to help him? Does Jesus need help? No. He's mighty to save. The great Lord Jesus Christ, and his intercession is powerful. So powerful that he's never lost a case. Is he your mediator? If you trust in him, if you put your confidence in him, you don't need another. The Lord Jesus Christ is a mighty intercessor. And he's got the best argument of all. His own blood. His own sacrifice that he has offered. Christ, our intercessor. We do need an intercessor. Even after we are converted, sadly, we still sin, don't we? And sometimes we backslide. Sometimes we get into quite a mess. But there's a way back to God. And there's a great intercessor. Put your trust in him. And then when the great judgment day comes, you will be there. And Christ will be there on your side. What a lawyer. What an intercessor. Christ is our all and in all. Sixthly, he is our master. Is he your master? Lots of people say, I believe in Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus washes my sins away. But then you look at their life and Jesus is not really their master. They live the way they like. They do what they want. They please themselves. And who is their master? They are their master. And the fashions of the world are their master, or the pleasures of the world, or money is their master, or sport is their master, or something, music, anything. People can make a god of anything. But who is your master? Have you taken Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. So people say, so people think, I'm the master of my fate. I do what I want. I live the way I like. I'll please myself. Well, yes, there are many like that. But what about you? Christ is my all and in all. He's my master. He's my leader. He's my ruler. He's my guide. He's the one who's the shepherd of my soul. I look to him and he reigns over me. My Lord and King to whom I submit. Christ is my all and in all. Is that true of you? Is he your Lord? Or do you just turn to him for forgiveness and then live the way you like? Or do you live for him in submission? And are you constantly saying, Lord, what will you have me to do? Lord, how do you want me to live? Lord, be my Lord, be my master. Seventhly, Christ is the lover of my soul. Christianity is a religion of love. In a sense, it's falling in love with Christ. We love him because he first loved us. And when his love touches our hearts, it draws out our love for him. He loved me and He gave Himself for me on the cross of Calvary. Before our conversion, we look at Jesus and God, and there's a kind of awe, a sort of respect, a kind of consciousness of this big person. But then, after conversion, it's different, isn't it? Christ is our beloved. He is the one whom we love. He is the one in whom we delight. When we are unable to believe in Him, His love and joy and peace fill our hearts. The Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love and joy and peace of God in our hearts. We love Him with all our heart and soul and strength and mind. We love Him more than our boyfriend or girlfriend or partner or husband or wife or whatever. We must. He must have that first place. And He does have that first place. Christ is our all and in all. It's a relationship, being a Christian. A relationship with your beloved. Eighthly, Christ is our indweller. It's an amazing relationship that we have with Him. It's not just that Christ is with us, or that Christ is near to us, but it's that Christ is in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you as your Savior. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him, and he with me. Have you opened the door? Has He come in? Does He live with you? Is He in your heart? Is He your indweller? Are you in a relationship of union with Christ? Christ in you and you in Christ. Are you part of His body? By His Spirit dwelling in you. Christ the indweller. A wonderful relationship. Not just to come, as it were, to church and to worship this God up there, but to come and worship the God who is in here, in your heart, who has come from heaven to dwell in you by His Holy Spirit, and who dwells in the congregation of God's people. And wherever you are, God is there, and God is with you. God in Christ, by His Spirit. Christ, the indweller. Ninthly, Christ, the enricher. Christ, the empowerer. Christ, the one who enables us more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Christ, the one who by His Spirit enables us to pray, so that we pray in the Spirit. We pray effectively because of His Spirit. Christ, the one who enables us to witness effectively through Christ. Christ, who enables us to preach, so that I preach in the Spirit, with the Spirit, with the help of Christ. Christ, who enables us to praise, praising in the Spirit. Christ is our all and in all, enriching, empowering, enabling us to be Christians. People who are not Christians, they think, oh, I could never be that. I could never keep it up. And they couldn't, in and of themselves. But when you have Christ in you, then you can do it. You can do it, and it's easy. It's natural. Christ in us, empowering, enabling, strengthening, giving to us greater faith, greater hope, greater love, enabling us to overcome doubts and fears. Christ the enricher, enriching our prayers, our praise, our worship, our witness, our preaching, our all. Christ the enricher. And then tenthly and finally, Christ the faithful one. Christ the faithful one. The one who will never leave nor forsake. We are unfaithful, but He's faithful. We sometimes go astray. We sometimes fall away. But He is always faithful. He will never leave nor forsake. He's there, a very present help in every time of need. He's with us in our trials. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even when death casts shadows over our lives, He is there with us. Whatever the trial, whatever the experience, yes, even in death itself. This past week, we lost one of our beloved members in our congregation who passed away, Kitty Bauer. And it was rather interesting when I went in to see her in hospital there on Monday night. It seems she had fallen down the stairs on Sunday evening. She was found on Monday morning and taken into hospital. It appeared in a coma. But I went in to see her and we're talking round the bed to her relatives. And then I turned to herself and I began to quote Psalm 23. And it was wonderful to see how she roused herself and lifted up her hand and seemed as if, yes, although she couldn't communicate, she was breathing heavily, seemed to be, as it were, just dying, and yet the life, she seemed to hear something, and yes, there was that response. And what an encouragement to know that when we come to the end of our lives, and when we're there dying, the Lord is there still. He's with us. So faithful. He will never leave us nor forsake us. My God is my helper. Why should I be afraid? How many wonderful deathbeds I've been at and seen Christians radiating forth the love and joy and assurance of God's love. What a comfort and encouragement it is to see the beauty of the Lord, as it were, shining in their faces as they come to the end. Christ, the faithful one. What is Christ to you? Someone you've heard about, someone who died on the cross 2,000 years ago, someone that maybe you believe is today in heaven, or is He someone that's everything to you? Is He to you your covenant head? Is He your teacher? Is He your Savior? Is He your forgiver? Is He your intercessor with God? Is He your master? Is He the lover of your soul? Is He the indweller in your heart? Is He the enricher of your life, your Christianity, your worship, your prayers? Is He the faithful one, always there, always with you? The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor the covenant of my peace. Spurgeon tells a story of a poor man. He had learning difficulties. He was somewhat limited. And he had an addiction to drink. But one day, coming home, he heard an old woman singing, "I am a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all." And as she sang that over and over, it stuck in his mind. He went home, thought more and more and more about it, convicted of it, and eventually led to faith in Christ. Left his drinking and his evil ways behind, a new transformed life. He came to the church and he asked to be allowed to come to the Lord's table. And they wanted to hear some testimony from him, or some reason why they should accept him to the Lord's table. He had such a bad life in the past, and what has happened? What is new? What can you say for yourself? And to every question they asked, he had one answer. "I am a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all." Can you say that today? I am a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all.